So it is a pleasure to be here. This is not the first time I've been in Rosh HaKolol. I've spent summers here. It's not the first time I've been back to give shir here. But each time I come back, I really feel like I'm home. I'm a Talmud of Rabbi Willig's. So it's always a pleasure, even once you get to the point of being a Rebbe, it's always good to be around your own Rebbeim, to remind yourself of being a Talmud. It's good to see current Talmudim in our yeshiva. It's good to see past Talmudim. It's good to see future Talmudim. And it's good to see all of you, because Am Yisrael needs all of us. And it's a common misconception that there's, you know, different yeshivas or different teams. We're all on the same team. It's all Kadosh Baruch Hu's team, and it's all the same Torah. We're just in different classrooms with different Rebbeim, but it's all the same team, and it's all the same Torah, and it's incredible for Klal Yisrael that you guys are spending your summer here in Rosh HaKolol. It's an incredibly special place, and especially to the boys who are still in high school who are doing this, really incredible. Yashar Koyach and Kol HaKavod to you. In terms of the shiur topics, since we don't have that much time, I want to jump right into it. Rav Cohn asked me via Rav Shaya, your super madrich, so you want to give thanks to him, my machnis arach, he's the one who helped me and coordinated my visit, something connected to the parsha. So this week's parsha in Chutz Laretz, we're reading Parshas Korach, and of course the namesake of the parsha and the dominant story of the parsha, of course, is the famous machlokes between Korach and his chevra versus Moshe and Aaron against the kahuna and the leadership of Moshe and Aaron. So what I thought, therefore, made sense was to study the sugya of machlokes. Every sugya you do, there is a machlokes about. But that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the sugya of machlokes, not as how they're discussing the sugya, but the sugya of machlokes and the mirror of that, which is the mitzvah and the value of shalom. In learning, we understand. This is a different topic. I'll have to come back. We'll all be together in Beit Hashem. If not in Yerushalayim, then back in Rosh HaKolol next summer. We could discuss, if you want, how do we understand the concept of machlokes? Where does that come from? And what does that mean? Elu v'elu divrei Elokim chayim and lo b'shamayim hi. A lot of big sugyas and how to understand Torah Shebaal Peh, different opinions. But that's not for today. I'm assuming for purpose of today that two people learning, of course there's a difference how you understand the sugya. We're going to come back to that. But when I talk about Isser Machlokas, I'm obviously speaking about something a little bit more pernicious. Now what I'd like to do, it's a pretty ambitious agenda, considering how little time we have, but I would like to do is as follows. I'd like to start off discussing some of the Hashkafa, some of the Machshava Makoros in Chazal about Machlokas, and then transition and pivot to the halachic discussion about machlokes. Now, ordinarily, even if I would put those two things together in a shir, hashkafa and halacha, ordinarily I would have reversed the order. I would start with the halacha, and then we'd see what hashkafa emerges from that. But you'll see, as we get to the second half of the shir, you'll see that my reason for starting with the machshava, with the hashkafa, is deliberate, and hopefully you'll see that in due time. But let's just start and jump right into it. I'm giving you now echad mine elef, just a little bit, a small sampling of the makoros in Chazal about machlokes, there are, and shalom, there are rampant, many of them, but here are a few of the key ones, in general, and especially connected to our parsha. So again, source number one is just the pasuk, which is going to be the basis of the whole shir, as the pasuk tells us in the aftermath of the whole terrible episode, where he's underlined in source number one, v'lo yiyah ki korach v'adaso. Now it's hard to translate the word lo yiyah. You say, what do you mean? It seems pretty easy to translate. But you'll see when we get to the halachic part, it's a machlokes. If the lo there is just a sipur devarim, descriptive, it'll never happen again, or is it a tzivoy, prescriptive, you're not allowed to repeat it? That's going to be a big machloket. We're going to get that. That's the second half of this year. But lo yiyah ki korach v'adaso. That's the basis. We see machloket is a huge part, unfortunately, in our parsha. So source number two is actually a medrash rabbah. Rashi, if you've done Shinai Mikra, you'll see this Rashi. If you haven't, you should, and you'll get to it. Rashi alludes to this particular Medrash, but this is the Medrash on the inside. You get the fuller picture. Medrash tells us, and Rashi quotes, how horrible Machlokas is. In a certain sense, says Rashi, says the Medrash, Machlokas is the worst of Eira. Right? We often poo-poo it. You know, there's, you know, treif, Chil Shabbos, Arayos, all sorts of... And then, you know, Machlokas, come on, that's what Jews do. Says the Medrash, Rashi quotes this, when it comes to the severity of onesh, of punishment, Machlokas is the worst. How do you know that? Where do you see that? So the Medrash tells us, Kamakoshe Machlokas, because Bezdin Shalmala, in terms of your ultimate onesh in Shamayim, we have a tradition, Don't ask me exactly what this means, because it's hard to understand. We're talking about things up in Shemayim. But Chazal tell us, Medrash here quotes it, even though you're already over bar mitzvah, until you're 20, you don't truly get punished up in Shemayim. Fascinating idea. But that's what the Medrash says. And in Beis Din Shel Mata, in this world, when would Beis Din punish you? Only after what age? After your Gimel, after 13. But when it comes to Machlokes, second line, source number two, but Machlokes Shel Korach, Tinokos even Ben Yomon, Nisrafu V'Nivlu B'Sheol Tachtis. As Medrash continues by quoting the Pasuk, we see when the earth opened up and swallowed them and there was a fire, who died? Not only Korach V'Adoso, not only all the adults who were there, their entire families, including not only adult children or adult spouses, even the babies got killed. You ask me, why? Why is that fair? I don't know. It's a legitimate question, not our topic. But what do you see from this medrash? Kama kosha machlokas. How severe. It's the only thing, says the medrash, that even children will get punished. And you, therefore, as the parent, as the baal machlokas, as the bar plukta, you need to realize. You get yourself in a machlokas, you're machzik machlokas, not only are you putting yourself at risk, you're putting your children, even babies, at risk. Now, the most famous discussion, not at all the only, most famous discussion about machlokas, and specifically when it comes to our parsha, in all of Chazal, Medrash, Mishnah, Gemara, the most famous discussion is the Mishnah Pirkei Avos. Source number three. In Pirkei Avos, the Mishnah tells us that, in fact, as I alluded to before, there are certain kinds of machloksim, maybe not so bad, like in learning, and then there are bad machloksim. This is a Mishnah that most of you have probably learned inside, and you've all heard of before, that the Mishnah tells us there's two categories, Tzveidinim, if you will, in Machlokas. Machlokas le Shem Shemayim, which we're not going to translate just yet, but you can tell that's kind of a good thing. Machlokas le Shem Shemayim, and Machlokas she lo le Shem Shemayim. What is the paradigm? What is the classic example of a Machlokas le Shem Shemayim? What does the Mishnah tell us? Source number three. Hillel and Shammai, right? You could have said a Bayan and Rav, Rabbi Yochanan, Rish Lakish. Classic machlokas in Chazal, trying to find what the emes is, trying to find what the halacha says. That's a machlokas. Yes, they fought all over Shas. L'shem Shammayim. But then the Mishnah continues, end of the first line going to the second line. Ezu machlokashi, lo l'shem Shammayim. What's that? Korach va'adoso. And what does the Mishnah say about the two categories? They're not just two categories. There's a nafkamina, if you will. Machlokas Hashem Shemayim, sofo hi lehiskayim. It will endure forever. But machlokas shelo l'shem Shemayim, ein sofo lehiskayim. It will not endure. That seems to be very straightforward, easy to translate. Meshnah, very famous. We've all heard about it. Now we've seen it. There are at least, I can think of two, probably three, incredibly difficult things to understand in this one little Mishnah. Sometimes people make a mistake, they daven up Pirkei Avos. They think, it's just, it's not like real learning. Just run through it. It's Musa. Don't tell Rabbi Cohen you would say that. He would not be happy even with that joke. But Pirkei Avos is unbelievably deep. And there's a reason there's like 100 Mefarshim over the centuries on Pirkei Avos. Incredible stuff. You have to really learn it. You can get something out of it even by running through it. You can. That's the beauty of Pirkei Avos. But you're missing a lot. There's a lot there. So, a few different things. And each one I'll pick a Rishon or an Achron. We'll point out three things about the Mishnah. And then we're going to pivot to the second part of the Shir, to the Halachic part of the Shir. The first thing is, it's really weird, right? It's clear that which is the good kind of Machlokas? The Shem Shemayim. Which is the bad Machlokas? So, if I were to tell you that there's something that Chazal really like, a machlokas, that's a good one, and then there's a bad one. Which one would you have expected to be the ongoing, never-ending machlokas? Right? It's a little bit peculiar. Right? Machlokas shelo l'shem Shemayim, I expect, the mission to tell me that, okay, maybe not an earthquake, but a thunderlight, a bolt of lightning, something. Why would the Chazal tell me that somehow, because it's lo l'shem Shemayim, that is ein sofo l'hiskayim? But Machlokas L'Shem Shemayim, that's going to be the fighting forever. I would have thought the opposite. Because it's L'Shem Shemayim, so it'll be a blip. It won't be such a big deal. But never Machlokas L'Shem Shemayim, that you think that will go on for... And yet it becomes the opposite. In what way? Why is it a good thing that machlokus l'shem shamayim should be miskayim? Two people are arguing about what to do in shul. Right? They both mean well. You can call that l'shem shamayim. Not arguing over something petty. But do we want that to go on forever, that machlokus? Do we want there to be some kind of resolution? What if they're willing to compromise? What if they're willing to make shalom? Why should it be that because of l'shem shamayim it's so fully hiskayim? So this is not my question. This was Rabbeinu Yonah already. Rabbeinu Yonah from the Gedolei Rishonim. Rabbeinu Yonah is bothered by this. And Rabbeinu Yonah says in source number 4, you have to understand the definition of l'hiskayim, v'ein l'hiskayim. Says Rabbeinu Yonah an amazing thing. When it comes to machlokas l'shem shamayim, source number 4, it's underlined. When it meant l'hiskayim, hayom yachloku b'davar echad, l'machar b'davar acher, l'machlokas yekayim v'nimshach b'neim, Kol Yemei Chayayim. Says Rabbeinu Yonah, you get that? Not necessarily that this machlokus is arguing right now. We do say tachlin today, we don't say tachlin today. I should wear tchelis, I shouldn't wear tchelis. Oh, whatever machlokus you can imagine. We're not saying that one is going to be miskayim forever. What we're saying is that their relationship of fighting for truth and justice in the Jewish way, their relationship is going to perpetuate, and they're going to have ongoing machlokas. So today they were discussing the machlokas about tcheles. Tomorrow they're going to discuss the machlokas whether she's tachlin or not. And on Wednesday they're going to say I have a third machlokas. Each time there'll be a different machlokas. But it's so full this time because since they're both l'shem shemayim, I know you mean well. So why wouldn't I have a? If I happen to disagree with you, I don't mind discussing with you again and again and again. The relationship will be ongoing, and therefore they'll always have a machlokas, right? Like Shammai and Hillel. They just argue once and say, I don't want anything to do with you. So fully skying. They'll keep on arguing. Hayom, it's going to be about how many Chanukah candles light. And tomorrow it'll be on the second day. And then on the next day it'll be the Ramachol, Shammai, and Hillel. However, it continues to be in Yonah. And here he kind of drops the hammer and goes, you know, medieval, Rishon on us. Says, but if it's lo l'shem shamayim, that's ein lo so fully skying. Not as a reward. Adrami, you know why it's going to be ein so fully skying? Because like Korach, they're going to die. Now, that's a little bit of a shocking ending to the Rabbeinu Yonah, and I'm not doubting Rabbeinu Yonah, and it did happen to Korach, but you know, you look around, I don't see everyone who gets into Lo L'shem Shammai Machloksim just dropping dead. So I would say that part of Rabbeinu Yonah is a little bit of a tzarech ian for me. But what I prefer, going with the beginning of Rabbeinu Yonah, what I prefer is the word that Rabbi Yisrael Meir Lau, or of Lau, some of you may have heard of him, he used to be the chief rabbi of all of Israel, that he retired back to being just the chief rabbi of Tel Aviv. I think he's now just retired. His son, Rav David Lau, is currently the chief rabbi of all of Israel. Yisrael Meir Lau has a 6-volume set on Perkei Avos, 1 volume from each parak. And there, in Perkei Avos, he says the following word. Like Rabbeinu Yonah, he says, you know why? It's all about the ongoing relationship. So it's l'shem shamayim. You and I have a machlokas today about the sugya, and tomorrow we have a different machlokas because we love each other and we love the sugya. So we're just always going to have differences. What's lo l'shem shamayim? He says, you know why it's ein sofel hiskayim? Because it became personal. Because it became petty. So if I have a machlokas with you, and instead of just being about MS and the sugya, you make it personal, you make it petty, I see your lo l'shem shamayim. Tomorrow when I have a shaila in the sugya, am I more likely to speak to you or somebody else? Says Rabbi Lau, once it's slowly shem shamayim, it's ain't so fully iskayim. You know why? It's not going to have anything to do with you anymore. You have to be at least close enough with people to argue with them. If you see that person slowly shem shamayim, who even wants to waste time arguing with such a person? So that I find, you know, I can relate to that. I think it's a very beautiful insight in human nature and psychology. And he's really working off Rabbeinu Yonah, just instead of saying, well, slowly shem shamayim, you just die, therefore there's no one that loves him, which Rabbeinu Yonah does say, you can read it. But Rabbi Lau has a twist on it, which I think makes a lot of sense, and we can kind of relate to it in our own level, in our world. That's ha'ara number one on the Mishnah. Why is it that lo l'shem shamayim is ein sof l'hiskayim? I would have thought that that's a good thing. So no, you have to understand, it means the ongoing relationship. Number two, source number 5, another from the Gedolei Rishonim, Rav Avadya bar Tanura. He asks a more basic question, which I've been avoiding until now, which is, how do you define l'shem shamayim? You ever meet a person who said, yeah, I'm in it for me. I'm lo l'shem shamayim. This machlokas that I'm having, yeah, we're totally lo l'shem shamayim. Right? Everyone thinks they're l'shem shamayim. You ever meet someone who says, yeah, I'm lo l'shem shamayim guy? Now, you and I look and say, oh, that's lo l'shem shamayim. But no one in the moment thinks that they are. So we need to have some kind of objective definition. What counts as l'shem shamayim? What counts as lo l'shem shamayim? And the answer, which I've kind of already been alluding to, but I didn't really say out explicitly, you'll find in many Makaros, the earliest, I think, might be this Bar Tanura. And the Bar Tanura says, if you look even just at the two words at the beginning of the second line, What's the purpose? Is lahasig es ha'emes. Says the Bar Tanura, and many follow him, the definition of machlokas l'shem shamayim is that your overriding goal is to get to the truth. You happen to have a sheet of what you think the truth is, you're allowed. It could be some meta issue. The Medina is a good thing. The Medina is Maisa Sutton. It could be a massive issue. The Lubavitch Rebbe was Mashiach. He will be Mashiach. He's never going to be Mashiach. Some big issue. The Yankees are going to win the World Series. They're not going to win the World Series. The big issues. Or it could be, how do you read the next word in Tosfos? How do you read the next line? Did Tosfos already end the question, or he's already started the answer? I spent hours of my life trying to figure that out when I was younger. Very hard sometimes to know exactly where to punctuate. How do you read the Gemara? How do you read the Tosfos? So it could be something quote-unquote narrow, little, or even the big issues. But if the reason you're arguing with the guy at lunch, the guy at the Harusa, is because Lavake and Shesa Emes, I want to know the truth. Right now I think I got it, but maybe you'll convince me I'm wrong. But if it's about the truth, it's about the issue, that's called Machlokas L'Shem Shamayim. And therefore, says the Bar Tanura, that's why it's Miskayim, going back to why Machlokas L'Shem Shamayim. So we thought, if Machlokas is bad, why would we want a Machlokas L'Shem Shamayim to be Miskayim? We would think, okay, put it out, you know, get that fire out. So we saw Rabbeinu Yonah's answer, that the relationship is ongoing, so you keep on having more Machlokasim. But the way Rabbi Bar Tanura has it, slightly different. He says here, if you look at the a little bit, you can even go back a little bit to the first line. Hatachlis v'hasof hamivukash. Or he says on the third line, where it's underlined. Tachlis hanirtze. That is to say, says Bar Tanura, what does it mean, lihiskayim? If you guys are fighting over pshat, after shir, Rabbi Cohen, he said this about Tosfos, he's that about Tosfos. Two people understand shir differently, right? There's never been a shir in which everyone understood shir the exact same way. I can't read the Tosfos, or again, the big issues, whatever they are. But hopefully through the process of the machlokes, through the give and take, if the whole purpose is to get to the truth, the tachlis hamavukash, that's the desired goal to get to the truth. So if we get to the truth, now we have it, that's miskayim. Now we have a piece of nitzchias, we have a certain piece of Torah, we have a certain emes that we reach, the tachlis hamavukash. So once we have that, that's sofa liskayim, we have that forever. Now I know Pshat and Tosfos. If I had the machlokas and gone through with my harusa, maybe I never would have. That's miskayim, not the fight. Eventually the fight hopefully will die out. Bar Tanura is implying, because you don't want to fight forever. But hopefully through the fight, you found the truth. And it's the truth, which is mivukash stays forever. Last but not least, very, very famous. I just found this Noam Elimelech on my way, literally. So the thing about having the Bar Ilan Sidi Ram, I was able to write up the whole Makor Shina on the plane on the way here. This Noam Elimelech, the famed Rebbe Elimelech, Rebbe Elimelech Luzinsk, famous Hasidic Rebbe. So he, I don't know if he's the first, he's definitely not the first, but he has a very famous presentation of a third deal, right? We said, why sofali iskayim for a good machlokas? We didn't understand that. We said, what is L'Shem Shamayim? Lo L'Shem Shamayim, no, we understand that. Third thing, anyone notice, this is very famous, so many some of you have heard of it, but if you haven't heard of it, did you notice? We read the Mishnah. There's a certain imbalance in the Mishnah. There's something not, there's a lack of synchronicity in the Mishnah. Imbalance. Anyone catch it? What's off about the Mishnah, the Lashon of the Mishnah? Anyone notice it for the first time? Yeah. Who should it have been? Excellent. Very good. What is your name? Yeah, I'm going to repeat what Yaakov said because he's in the penalty box. So you might not have heard him. Or the bullpen. That sounds better, I guess. So Yaakov's pointed out, which I think the Tosfos Yontif was a Talmud of the Maharal. Tosfos Yontif also wrote a parish on the Mishnah. I think he's the first to make this deal, I think. But he doesn't give the answer that's very famous. The answer that's famous is the Noam Elimelech. But he points out, as Yaakov just said, you can hear Yaakov now, is that the Mishnah started off by saying Machlokas between Hillel and Shammai. So what we've expected, what should it have said? Korach v'Moshe, not Korach v'Adaso. So once you have that R, now what do you do with it? So you say, thank you, Rabbi Gottlieb, for coming to Kamar Shakol and telling me about this Noam Elimelech. This is an awesome mocker. You'll never forget it once I tell it to you. Says the Noam Elimelech, we don't have time to read it all inside. But in the beginning, he asks the question, and in the middle, he says, I'll tell you what the answer is. Basically, he says, I'm embellishing, but only a bit. He basically says, listen, everyone's going to do what I mentioned 2 minutes ago. Everyone says they're L'Shem Shamayim. So how do you know? So says Noam HaMelech, I'll tell you how you know. If you're involved in some achlokas, this tzibur versus that tzibur, etc. So when they're fighting with you, they're all unified, right? Because what's unifying them? To kill you. Right? To show you're wrong. They know the emes. How do you know if they're L'shem Shemayim? In general, when they're just amongst themselves, not when they're fighting with you, do they have achdus and shalom, or are they fighting? In essence, says Noam HaMelech, if it's lo l'shem shemayim, there's no honor among thieves. Lo l'shem shemayim means that right now, since they're fighting for whatever the cause is, they're together. But when they're by themselves, then it's all about the personal kavod. It's korach ve'adaso. The simin that korach was lo l'shem shemayim was that they were also fighting amongst themselves. You don't see this in the psukim, but this is Noam HaMelech. They were all fighting. Yeah, we want to get rid of Moshe and Aaron, but I want to be the melech. I want to be the kohen. Korach thought he was going to be, but who said everyone else agreed with him? A lot of Mepharshim asked, why did the 250 people go along with him? What was in it for them? Says Noam HaMelech, no, they all thought they're going to be the one. The simon that they were lo l'shem shemayim when they were arguing with Moshe is machlokes korach va'adasa. They argued amongst themselves. No honor among thieves. It's a tremendous simon. I'm telling you, keep your, now that you've heard this, you'll never forget it. You'll never forget it every time you hear the Mishnah. And in life, if you keep your eyes open, you'll see this, unfortunately, time and time again. There are lots of machloksim in the world. The people who are truly l'shem shamayim never let it become personal. They never let it become petty. And therefore, when they're not in the particular sugya of machlokas, they're happy to be ba'achdos. But people who are really, unfortunately, low l'shem shamayim, even if they dress and act and talk l'shem shamayim, but if they're really not, then even if in the moment they can get together a few chevra on their side to do whatever they're doing, but with that chevra or with other, there's constantly little fights, little petty flare-ups. Says Noam HaMelech, that's the simon that the whole thing is rotten from the core. It's low l'shem shamayim. And one last thing as we pivot to the next page and the halachic part of this year, very famous Gemara. Gemara says you should know that, again, if we understand this Gemara on its own, but we understand it better in light of everything we're saying. Seven, number seven, the Gemara says, when you have a machlokas l'shem shemayim, they start out, nasim oivim zed zed. They're fighting like crazy. No, that's not the way to read the Gemara. That is the way to read the Gemara. They're fighting like crazy. But einam zazam yisham ashanazim ohavim zed zed. But in the end, it's not personal. So maybe we're arguing. But once we finish, then we're friends again. Because we were always really friends. Because it was never personal and petty. And you see this, a lot of the Makaros here are very famous. This, I think, is, I don't remember how I found it, but this is not nearly as well known. This is Mamash Hashem. Number 8, it's a quote tucked away in a larger tshuva of the Chasam Sofer. But the quote is Mamash, it's money. It's an amazing quote. It's everything that we've been saying. Look at where I underlined it double. The Chasam Sofer says, listen, you go into a sugya, again, it doesn't matter if it's a Gemara sugya, a Hashkafa sugya, you go into a sugya, the Chasam Sofer says in the first line, you have your daya. And if you're well thought out, then you have a right to have a daya. You have your daya. You should fight for your daya, says the Chasam Sofer. But guess what? At the end, if you're L'shem Shamayim, it's not about you. And here's the double underlined part. I love this quote. Umali bekach im yodeli olo. Says the Chasam Sofer, you want to know if you're really a L'shem Shemayim person? You want to know if you're really in it for the right reasons? So I'm in it, and I really believe I'm right about the sugya. I really am right about this particular question. But Mali, what do I really care if he agrees to me? Or then I agree to him? It's not about winning. I wasn't going into this so I can get that hana, that feeling, that kishmak. Oh, he admitted I was right. Let's be honest, right? We all have that yitzhar a little bit. Some of us more than a little bit. So we have to work on ourselves. Says the Chasam Sofer, you have to go into the machlokas. Ma li ma lo. What's the difference if in the end I agree to him or he agrees to me? Really, this is an avoda for all of us. How often can we really say that? As long as I get to the truth, what's the difference if it's where I started or I end up changing my mind along the way? The ikar is where I get to, if I get to the truth. That's a simon of l'shem shamayim. It wasn't personal, it wasn't petty. Was about the issues. Okay, we have about 15-ish minutes left. Let's turn over to the second page. Now, Ad Kan, it was just, I hope it was Kedai. Very important stuff, at least to me it is, of Hashkafa. We see quite clearly Chazal's take on the importance of Shalom, how terrible Machlokas is, what types of Machlokas are bad, what types of Machlokas could be legit, fine. But until now, all we've seen is Machshava. We've seen Musar. And we could all agree that machlokas, especially if it's low l'shem shemayim, is not a good thing. Not the best thing. Not a fruma thing. But what have we not yet seen at all, one way or the other? Just to say it's not good, it's not nice, is it osur? I'm sure in many other sugyas, you yourself sometimes have felt this way, and certainly you may be familiar. I certainly know as a, not only as a Rebbe in Yeshiva, but I also, my other life is as a community rabbi. In America now, again, and thank God in Eretz Yisrael, I have the schus to do that as well, in Ramat Beit Shemesh. You have certain people, you know, it doesn't matter what that you're telling me, I don't think that's a good idea. But rabbi, is it osur? If it's osur, I won't do it. But is it osur? Right, so sometimes it's important to know that no, maybe it's not, but still, it's still not the right thing. There's still a Musar idea, there's still hashkafa, but we have a right to know, and we would want to know because it sort of does matter. Certain things are just Musar, but other things are not only Musar; they're really halachos, and that obviously is going to have a greater impact. So that's my question: if machlokas is bad, good, shkayach, put a bow on that one. You knew it 20 minutes ago, and now you really know it. But is machlokas usur? Is it usur? Is it usur to be involved in a machlokas? So the answer is, not clear. And the machlokas, a major machlokas we've shown him, is gufa on the pasuk we started with. The pasuk that we'll read in this coming week's parsha. Lo yeh kikarech ba'adasa. How do you read those words? So I want to share with you, basically, three shitas. Arba sheim shalosh. Basically, three shitas in Rishonim, how to read those words. The first shita, source number 9, I jumped ahead, my bad. So, the first answer is you'd think, okay, let's see, is there a Gemara? And the answer is, before we get to the Machlokas, there is a Gemara, and the Gemara seems to be so straightforward, it's hard to believe that there's still Machlokas after the Gemara. But the Gemara says, source number 9, Sanhedrin Daf Kuf Yud, quotes the Pasuk, but before that says, Rav, call a machzik b'machlokas over belav. If you perpetuate, and I would assume kal v'chomer, if you started, initiated a machlokas, you violate a lav, a lotase in the Torah. From where? Our parsha, lo yeh kikarach, ucha adaso. Rav Ashi says, yeah, not only that, you're going to get saras, or you deserve to get saras. But he doesn't mean not a lav, I don't think. I think he means in addition. But Rav says, yehei mashiach, Rav, the great Amora Rav, the Farish in the Gemara, Kalamachlik b'machlokas, over belav. So you think, game, set, match, it's over. Let's go back to morning Seder. Despite the seemingly straightforward nature of that Gemara, the Rishonim have an argument. So now it's a double machlokas, not only how to read the Pasuk, how to read the Gemara, which read the Pasuk. So let's see three quick shitas, and then I'll show you some very interesting applications as well. First shita, source number 10 is the Smak. That stands for a Sefer Mitzvahs Katan from the Bali Atosfos. He is a secondary Sefer. Before him was a bigger Sefer. He wrote a Kitzur called the, shocking, Smag, Sefer Mitzvahs Gadol. The Smag loved the Smag. He just thought the Sefer was too big, so he wanted to make a little Kitzur version. They don't always agree, as far as I know. I'm not an expert. I didn't go through every single one, but I assume that they don't always agree. But in this sugya, they mamish all, they both agree. I just put the smak on the sheet because I thought it was a little bit clearer. But both the smag and the smak, this is sheet number one in Rishonim, the smag and the smak both say, beferish, when they both wrote svarim to count the minyan taryag. We know there's this mesorah, the Gemara tells us, the 613 mitzvos, but the Gemara didn't tell us which of the 613. So many Rishonim, most famously the Rambam, also Sefer Achinuch, others, count the 613. The Smag and the Smak are also Svarim of counting the Minyan Mitzvahs, counting the 613. And they both count, here I give you the Smak, that one of the Mitzvahs, according to the Smak, it's Mitzvah 132, Kuf Lamed Bet, Ubechlal Zev, what's included in this Lav, Shelo Yeh, Baal Machlokes. In the beginning of the piece, he writes, there's something special about attacking the Kahuna, which we're going to get back to. But he clearly is not limiting it to that. The continuation, which I underlined, is clearly more broad. It doesn't matter what the topic is, evidently. It's an Isser Shelo Yeh Baal Machlokas. The Smag says that, and here you have the Smag. Now, how did they know? What's the obvious answer? The Gemara, right? If you'd ask the Smag and the Smag, this is like the easiest day of work for them. Right? Sometimes you need to be like one of the Gedolei Rishonim to come up with something. You just need to learn Daf Yomi Sanhedrin. Right? The Gemara said it, and they passed like the Gemara. Right? One shita says, yes, our parsha, lo yeh kikarach v'adaso, meaning, how do you translate that? Don't, it's usur. Don't ever make the same mistake of Korach. It's an isur daraisa. It doesn't matter what the topic of the machlokas is, it's always usur. Smag in the smag. Machshita number two is the Ramban. I made a typo there with the numbers. See, that's what happens when you have turbulence on the plane. Okay, so source number 12. Well, the Ketisa Sederach, we're up to number 12 already. Wow, that was fast. Asagas HaRamban, the Sefer Mitzvos. The Rambam, who we'll get back to in a minute, wrote a book of his own, Sefer Mitzvos. And the Ramban wrote a running commentary of all the things he thought the Rambam got wrong. His Asagas to the Ramban. To the Rambam, excuse me. So in that comment, source number 12, so the Ramban says, I agree. Here, catch it, you have to listen carefully. I agree that the Pasuk in this week's Parsha is to be taken literally and seriously. It's a halachic pasuk. Lo means don't, it's asur. But it doesn't mean just every machlokas. You're fighting over cutting, someone's cutting the line as you're waiting, you know, I don't know, for Dougie's takeout or something. I mean, and this idiot cut the line and you're yelling at him because he deserves it and yells it back at you and you're fighting. That's the smog, says that's an Issa Daraisa. Not to let yourself be a schlepper, but to get into the big fight about it. Says the Ramban, I agree there's an Issa Daraisa. But it's not about every machlokas. Says the Ramban in source number 12. V'shlo yachlok gam shum adam al kuhunas aron lemor kilo haisa me'es Hashem. Says the Ramban, it's a very specific thing. Mamish, mamish, don't be like Korach. Korach attacked Aaron. He attacked his right to the kahuna. So it's a little bit broader. Every time in history, if you say, who gave the Kohanim the rights to get the first Aliyah? Who gave the Kohanim the rights to do duchening? Who said that guy's a Kohen? Maybe he's not... Attacking the kahuna, claiming that that's not legit, that is a derivative of the original attack on kahuna of Korach. And Memela, every other time in history, says the Ramban, again, I don't know how many times this is ever going to happen. It seems to me people argue about a lot of other things. And the Ramban evidently thinks that's not included in the law. It may be a bad Musar thing, but it's not included in the law. Says the Ramban, the law, it is a law. But the law is limited to if you're attacking the kahuna. If you, source number 13 is Sefer Yerayim. Sefer Yerayim is also from the Rishonim, also Sefer Mitzvahs. He goes bederech the Ramban. He also agrees that it's a limited lav. It's not every machlokas, but he expands it a little bit slightly bigger. So it's not just about attacking kahuna, but it's attacking any legitimate halachic or rabbinic leadership position. So let's say, I don't know, you attack David HaMelech, who gave you the right to be the king. It would be an interesting question according to the Arayim, how far do you take that? Like if you have some troublemaker in your shul who starts attacking the rabbi, would that be in the lav of the Arayim? Maybe. Maybe. That's the Arayim in source number 13. V'chein lo ya'arer ar kol adam v'adam shenosun lo kovid b'mitzvah hayotzer. That if the Torah itself says you should be mechabedim, Torah says you should be mechabedim rov, could be, you attack the Rosh Hashiva. Right? Often those guys claim to be the most l'shem shemayim. I have to attack the rabbi, you know, because he's going to... It's like usually the biggest volume of machlokas when they make a breakaway. This is just keeps in the back of your mind. You'll see this in your life. Breakaways almost always have the name Shalom in their name. The right of Shalom, the Ayyame Shalom. If you see Shalom, you should ask. This starter is a breakaway. So it's a thing. It's a thing. What can I tell you? Jews are funny people. Lovely people, but funny. So the Arayim is really to be, I would say. It's really like the Ramban, because he agrees with the Ramban, it isn't Isser. And not like the smog and smog. It's not a broad Isser, it's a limited Isser. But 2B, because he expands it a little bit, not just the Kohen, but other things. Now you'll ask, Ramban, Kol Kavod, you're a Ben HaRamban. But isn't there a Gemara? Gemara Sanhedrin says, Kol HaMachlik B'Machlokas over Belav. Didn't say, Kol HaMachlik B'Machlokas over Kohen, Kol HaMachlokas over the Rosh Hashiva or the Rabbi. So how do they limit it? So if you go back to the bottom of source number 12, the Ramban says, Al Derech Tochachasu, which is the Ramban's way of saying, the Gemara said it, but the Gemara didn't mean it. The Gemara was embellishing. The Gemara was, you know, getting excited. The Gemara was saying, you shouldn't do it, it's a bad thing. It's tochach. So it's starker, it's better musar to say over balav. But didn't really mean it. It's an asmachta. Okay? So we have two basic approaches. On the one hand, the smag and the smak. Take the pasuk literally, take the pasuk halachically. It's osur. When? Any machlokas. Korach, just an example. Ramban and the Arayim would say, yes, it's a halacha. Yes, it's a halachic pasuk. Yes, take it seriously, literally, but look at the context. What was the context? Arguing on Moshe, arguing on Aaron. So a specific type of machlokas is asur daraisa. Evidently, the other's not. There's a third sheet of how to read the pasuk in our parsha, and that's the Rambam, source number 14. Says the Rambam, you're all wrong. Every one of you, it's all wrong. Why? Says the Rambam, the pasuk was never intended to be halachic. It's not a halacha. It's not prescriptive. It's not telling us what you can do, or in this case, what you cannot do. Rather, says the Rambam, source number 14, all this is a prediction. It's a nevuah. Hu yisala siper lanu shekol mi sheyachol kol kahuna v'yorba lo yachol bo yichuba mashiyigia b'korach ba'adaso min ha'abliya ba'asreifa, etc., etc. Says the Rambam, you know what the Torah was telling us? The Torah understood in the future there could be other people who attack the Kohanim, other people who attack the leaders, other people who are going to attack rabbis. You shouldn't think, well, if Korach got swallowed up by an earthquake and there was fire and everything, so next time someone does a machlokas the same way, someone attacks David HaMelech or whatever, his legitimacy, they're also going to get swallowed up by an earthquake. Says the Rambam, and this is not the Rambam of Mor Nebuchadnezzar, this is the Rambam of Sefer Mitzvahs. Says the Rambam of Sefer Mitzvahs, the Pasuk never meant that. Never meant to say it's usher. The Pasuk was saying that whatever happens in the future, lo yikarf adaso, they're not going to get swallowed up. They're not getting swallowed up. They're going to get punished. The Rambam says they're going to get saras or something like that. A different punishment. But they're not going to get the punishment like Korach. It's just a sipur dvarim. It's a prediction. It's a nevuah, if you will. It's not meant to be taken halachically. So now, I'm going to try to go for 5 or 6 more minutes, but I'm going to go fast now. You can handle that, right? Marsha Kolel. Okay. If not here, then where? So, here, I want to do 2 things quickly. We have 3 shitas. According to the first 2, we have a real iser. The Rambam, not even. But really, if you think about it, the kind of machlokas that's part of our lives, the kind of machlokas that's bad in our communities, so far we've only seen 1 shita, the first shita that holds that's usser. Everyone else learns the pasuk differently. So does that mean that according to the Rambam, the Ramban, there's no iser to have a machlokas? Really? Could it be? We know that they don't think that our parsha is the makor. But does that mean there's no makor? There's no iser? Can you think of any... Who could think of any other place in the Torah which we might be able to backdoor an iser to get involved in the machlokas? What do you think? Yeah. What's your name? Okay, David, yes. Good, I could see that. Right? Although some people are very self-loathing. So they fight with everybody because they really hate themselves. That's not a joke. That's actually a psychological point. But I think you're making a good halakhic point. Fair enough. Yes, what's your name?
Moshe,
yes. Oh, so that's like a mirror of Yahavta, but it's a little bit more straight to the point. In Hebrew we say, katsar v'la'anyan, straight into the point. Right? Doesn't the Torah say not to hate people? So sure enough, you that were mechavim to the she'iltas. Source number 17. The she'iltas of Rav Achai Gaon. Right before our generation, when any rabbi became a Gaon, so there was a tikkufa in history where there were certain people known as the Gaonim, right? In between the Chassidus and Talmud and the Rishonim. So one of, not, it's hard to say who's the most famous, one of the most famous of the Gaonim was Rav Achai Gaon. And source number 17, what does he say? On our Parsha, this is on our Parsha. It's, you shouldn't get involved in Lemevid Plukta, don't get involved in Machlokas. The Kevin, the Kamibu Plukta, because they get involved in Machlokas, also what? L'misneha adadi. If you get involved in machlokas, what's likely going to happen? You're going to hate each other. V'am rachamana, the Torah told me, lo sisna sachicha, v'lovecha. Excellent. Right, think about it. Most of the time you get involved in machlokas, lo l'shem shemayim, when it's anyway some narish thing, some petty thing, it's very rare that doesn't lead to that hating the person you're involved with. What? Saying good? You agree? All right. So, says the she'iltas, you have to avoid machlokas. It's a siyog against the Isra of Lo Sisna. Now that's an interesting thing, by the way. Just put a parenthesis on that for a second, right? Usually when we think of a siyog, don't do this because it might lead to that. What is that thing, the siyog? What level of the Isra is it usually? It's usually the Rabbana. What do you see according to the Sheltos? It's a siyog de orais, which we have a phenomenon of such things. But it's a short list. So now we have another thing to add to that short list. Says the Sheltos, machlok is usher de oraisa, as a siyog not to come to Lo Sisna. Can anyone think of this one other thing that the Rishonim say maybe as a backdoor to the Isser Machlokas? Anyone think of anything? Well, that would be connected maybe to fighting with the rabbis, which we saw from the earlier Rishonim. But yeah, it's a good thing. So the answer is that the Rambam himself gives us the clue. Because the Rambam in source number 15, later on in the Sefer Mitzvos, he counts one of the lotases, number 45, is lo sisko to do. You know that pasuk, lo sisko to do. So the simple reading of the pasuk, what does Lo Sisko to tell me? If Rachmana Letzlan, someone you love, your very close relative, dies, you're overwhelmed with grief. Apparently it was not uncommon in the time of Avodah Zarah, and now it's kind of making a comeback where people cut themselves. You may have heard of such things. You may even know people who never, it's a real psychological machala. But dafka, the time of the Torah, they were worried about it as a reaction to avelus, to grief, to mourning. It's a pasuk in the Chumash, lo siskoru, don't cut yourself. But Chazal, the Arshin, and the Rambam quotes this as well. What else is lo siskoru to teach me? Don't make agudos, agudos. There shouldn't be so many different minhagim in one different place. Right? So in one shul, you should maybe have, you know, two people davening out loud, Ashkenaz and Sfard, or on Chol HaMoed, post can discuss, right? Someone's guy's wearing tefillin, not wearing tefillin. Sort of Moshe Feisius, the Teirim nowadays in America, because it's all one bilbul and everything's mixed up, but at least Mikra Adin for sure, and I grew up in a shul where the minhag was not to wear tefillin, and I had my grandmother got remarried, and my new grandfather came to town for Chol HaMoed, I think it was a Pesach, he came to shul putting on tefillin, because he's a good Yekesh Jew from Breuers, and they put on tefillin on Chol HaMoed, and the rabbi of our shul said, you have to stay in the Ezra's Nashim. There are some shuls that are still holding stark by that. And that really was the Ikar Adin, because otherwise it would be Losses go to do. Almost no shul is so makbid on that, and Rav Moshe and others kind of already give defenses of our more laissez-faire attitude. But there is a halacha that in theory there's supposed to be a certain amount of, a certain degree. Doesn't mean everyone has to be exactly the same about everything, but a certain degree of uniformity, a little bit, on certain things. Losses go to do. Why? Here's the shot. You ready? Here we go. We're almost done. Why? What's the problem if there be two people doing the same different things? What's wrong with that? So Rashi al HaTorah says, this is source number 60. What's Rashi say? Because if two people are doing different things, it'll nira kishtei toros. It's a quasi theological problem. Did the Torah tell me to put on tefillin or not? Maybe there's two different Torahs. Oh, you gevalt. Now we're talking like heresy, fira. Rashi says what he's going to do is a hedge against looking like there's multiple Torahs. But the Rambam has a different shot. What does the Rambam say? In the Sefer HaMitzvos, the Rambam is talking about Losses going to do, don't have different Minhagim, different Batei Din, different this. And then the Rambam, out of nowhere, source number 15, out of nowhere, says, V'chein Omrim in Sanhedrin, Hamachzibu Machlokis over Balav, Lo Yikikorach Vahadoso. What does one have to do with the other? It's Mamash a non sequitur, out of nowhere, he just parachutes in. The Gemara in Sanhedrin and the Pasuk in our Parsha, in the midst of it, Losses going to do. So, at first glance, it's Tarach Ian Mamish, but you think about it for 2 seconds, you realize, no, the Pshat is actually clear and dramatic. What's the Rambam telling you? Clearly, who wants to fill in the blank? For rest, for everybody. What's the Rambam clearly telling you? By throwing in the Gemara we saw, our Pasuk in our Parsha, in the middle of Losses going to do. What's he telling us? Somebody, please. Not just that, more than that. In Lomdus, in Svara, what's he saying? That the purpose of Losses Go, why is it Osir Losses Go to do? Not like Rashi, because it might look to Shtu Torus. But because once you have different people putting on tefillin and shul together, what's very likely going to happen? Machlokes! So, it's not so much a siyag, although you could call it a siyag, but to me, when I read the Rambam, it's like, the Rambam is implicitly, he's working off an assumption that Machlokes is Osir. Where? How do we know? He just is. And since Machlokes is Osir, Losses go to do, make sure to avoid it. Rashi thinks it's the theological thing. It's a Benam Lamakum problem. Shtei Toros. Rambam thinks it's a Benam Lachavero thing. It's going to lead to Machlokes. You'll say, what's the Nafke? Give me one more minute. We're going to finish. What's the difference? The Netziv Mivalojin has a famous tshuva, which he says there's a Nafke community in Rashi and now our Rambam, which is there an Isser de Oraisa Losses go to do about a Minhag? Sfira Omer, I keep first Sfira, you keep second Sfira. Oh, wow. You know, can I go to the wedding, can't go to the wedding, all that stuff. Acapella music, recorded music, don't. But two people in the same house, in the same yeshiva, in the same base medrash, different minhagim. Is that a problem of Losses go to do? You won't find that in any Gemara. So the Netziv says, I think it's a machlokes, Rashi and the Rambam. If you hold like Rashi, it's a benam lamakom theological problem of nirim kishtei toros, so it says in Netziv, that's not a problem of minhagim. Why? Because everyone knows that minhagim are not from the Torah. Now that begs a question, why do we have to follow minhagim? Different shir, you know, I'll be back in 2 years for that one. But Lamaisa says the Netziv, you don't worry about, it looks like two Torahs about minhagim. Everyone knows that minhagim aren't in the Torah anyway. But, says the Netziv, if the purpose is like the Rambam, that it's assuming that there's an Isra Machlokes, oy vevey, says the Netziv, people could argue plenty about minhagim, plenty. Sometimes even more than about really Surim. You guys saw the video over Pesach? If I say the words, the video Pesach in Mexico City, you know what I'm talking about?
No.
Oh, guys, you're a tzaddikim. Tzaddikim. There's a crazy viral video. Missed. Oh, now you know what I'm talking about. Guys don't want to admit it. On a kosher device. You saw it on a kosher device. Right? a woman was in some Pesach program, I think it was in Mexico, and they served kidneys. And she's Makpid, Ashkenazi, not the Kidneys, Sephardim Kidneys. What is Kidneys? It's an old and ancient and should be kept by Ashkenaz and Minog, but it is just a Minog. She goes ballistic against the Mashkiach. It's on video. She's throwing things at him. They literally, the Rabbanim had to pick this woman up. Yes, you heard me. The Rabbanim, the woman. Pick her up! To take her out because she was going so berserk, physically assaulting the people. Throwing things at them. Over what? Over the minhag of kidneys. Because she violated many Isurei D'oraisa. Because she's upset that she might have eaten kidneys. Says that it's it. Exactly. Because that's what people do. People fight, even over Ma'at. Rashi wouldn't be listed to go to do. But Nitziv says, I'll end by just telling you the following. I hope this was helpful. I hope you enjoyed not only understanding the lumdus of it, the mushzer, the machshava, but I see where really, if you want to see where the money, really, where the rubber hits the road, where you really see this in action. So the last two sources, which is not just, you say, very hypothetical, theoretical, where do we count it, minyan tariyad, sacha kol, everyone's going to probably agree it's an isser darabanan. Okay, maybe it's an isser daraisa. Is it lo sisson, lo siskoda, lo liya korach? Does it really matter? The answer is yes, but you know what also really matters? You want to see how important this is halachically? With halachic teeth. Not just musr. Halachic teeth. So I gave you just two examples, but there could be others, where the avoidance of machlokes, or conversely, the promotion of shalom, impacts and changes the halacha. How's that for a magic trick? You have a halacha that should be, and to promote shalom will change the halacha. That's how powerful shalom is, or avoiding machlokes. Anyone think of the two famous examples? If you haven't yet looked at the sheet? Sota is the most famous example, right? That's the Torah example, right? L'chora, not everyone would agree to this, but most, I think, Rishonim would hold that in normal circumstances, taking a Shem Hashem and then dissolving it in water would probably be an Isser D'oraisa B'chikas Hashem. Not everyone agrees, but probably most would. And yet, as the Sifrei, source number 18, the Medrash famously tells us, Hashem is willing to tell us to violate this, to erase his own name. Why? To promote shalom between husband and wife. Something would ordinarily be usher was mutter to help shalom. Second example, and with this I conclude. How's that? Has it changed a halacha? Because you think it would be usher otherwise? You and I should talk more. Okay, maybe. I'm not so sure, but maybe. Yeah.
There's a thing where it says, like, you're allowed to, like, lie a little bit.
I didn't put that on the sheet, but if I had more space, I ran out of space, as you can see, I would have put that on. Excellent. That's an example of what I'm trying to think of. Right? An existing halacha that gets changed for shalom. Good.
Like that Nir Chanukah goes.
Oh, there we go. You didn't have a sheet in front of you. Look at that. What's your name, Tzadik?
Yaakov
what?
Bekov.
Oh, Yaakov Bekov. He didn't even have a sheet in front of him the whole time. You didn't have a sheet?
No.
Oh, you put it away. Did you look? Oh, he looked. He's a bigger Tzadik. He admitted it. Oh, Yaakov Bekov, I love you. So the Rambam, at the end of this, the very end of Hilchos Megillah, says the Rambam, Nebuch, we, again, Baruch Hashem, we live in such a wealthy world, we can't even relate to this. Could you imagine if you were so poor, you only had enough money either for Hanukkah candles or for Shabbos candles, or for Shabbos candles or for Kiddush? What should you do? Says the Rambam, you use it for Shabbos candles. Shabbos candles always win. As the Gemara says, what's the reason for Shabbos candles? Shalom bias and shalom bias, and yeah, just that. So you say, what do I need the Rambam for? It's in a Gemara, but the Rambam embellishes. Let's read the Rambam, but this will conclude. The Rambam says, Ner beso kodem. Why? Oh, the beautiful Lashon HaZahav of the Rambam. Ner beso kodem, mishum shalom beso, shaharei Hashem nimchak laso shalom b'nishlishto. Don't we know about Sota? And here's the key, this is the Chiddush of the Rambam. He adds this, Godol HaShalom, Shakol HaTorah Nitna. The whole purpose of the world is that there should be shalom. The whole essence of the Torah is to promote shalom. So we end, it's a bookend. We started off with the Rashi and our Parsha from the Medrash, that the single most cataclysmic, dangerous avera you could be involved in is machlokas. Even little children die from machlokas. And we bookend with the Rambam telling us based on the Pasuk, that conversely, if that's the worst avera, what's the best mitzvah, the biggest tachlis of the whole Torah? We should all be zocha. Have a great, great summer. Thank you very much for listening.
Thank you.